great foundational start that we had. Let me tell you, this Torah portion has a lot of information in it. It's not going to be one of them Torah portions you're going to rush through. You can read through it real fast. You really can, through every one of them. But you miss the beauty of it and what it's trying to teach us. And then this one is called Todot. And it's generations or descendants. It's a little tough to talk about because we only have the information what we have and what we can look up. So we have to take our time and look at it to the best of our ability. But it's packed with information, I tell you. Because we get into the spot in the scripture where we're going to see these generations start to multiply. And we're going to get different generations. And they're going to bring us to where we're at today, starting right here in the scripture where we're at. So it's just, anyway, but let me just cover the topics on what we're getting into, because this is going to be, it's going to take a little journey to do this. And I always like to start with the very first, I'm sorry, y'all. Let me get y'all hooked up here. So there's no trickery going on. I mean, you know, we have an adversary out there. And he's still going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not stopped. When you think it's peace and safety, the scripture warns us, sudden destruction. And look where we're at today in today's time. Just put you don't have to put the news on. Well, we carry the news in our pockets now. So you can watch it all the time. I even asked Brother Chad this morning. I said, which one are you watching? Because there's so many to watch. They're all pointing about the same direction, but I even asked my guy, my Palestinian guy, to get my hair cut, because he's from over there. And look, he said, look, we're going this one, but you got to get the English version of it. So information is there if we really want it. And the thing about it, this Torah portion deals with a lot of that kind of information, because it deals with history, a lot of history that you might not want to, you might say, well, why are we reading that? Because we need it. We need to know what went on. We need to know why it says what he says. Certain subject, I showed Brother Robinson, I'm going to try to get to it, brother, as much as I can. That I was showing him a passage of scripture, it's like, what is this? I don't even know what it is. You know why? Because we don't know history. So we need this. So this Torah portion is going to slow us down. It's going to cuff your fetlock if you really wanted to, and learn about what goes on, what went on. Because we learned about culture. You know, we learned about the nose ring and the bracelets. This all has meaning. So his word is not here just for nothing. It's for our learning. We should at least slow down. And look, you know what time you have. And I know what time I have. But it teaches us to slow down. And really, I'm so glad we're going through it this way. And look, it's challenging. It's very. If you don't think it is, prepare yourself. I'll give you the mic if you think it ain't challenging. Oh, boy. But I like to start off right here with the very first slide. Understanding Yah's likes and dislikes. How many of you know that in this Torah portion, he's going to teach you something that he approved of and something he didn't approve? We're going to see some dividing, electing, separating. Even though, like it was mentioned last night, even though Ishmael was a product of Abraham, he was a product of the flesh. Rejected. Y'all can't use him. Now we're going to get into Esau, and he's the same father and the same mother, but he gets rejected. Why? Shouldn't he have been a Hebrew, just like Isaac, just like Yaakov? So all these questions is all in this Torah portion. That's just so much. But we've got to understand, we can have all our opinions, but what really matters, there's only one opinion that really matters. And that's his opinion. And we have to understand, and we have to be okay with that. Like what he likes, and we have to be on board with him. Because if you oppose him, it don't end up well. So we have to like what, no matter where it leads us. Because sometimes it's going to be against loved ones. It's going to be against family and children. Yeshua told us these things. Especially in these times and age in which we live in, it's not going to set well with others. What are we supposed to do? Hold the line. That's what he said for us to do. Because we know in Esau, we're going to read it to him. He said, Esau I hated. Now, we don't want to get caught in the translation. The translation will do that to you. Now, he's not a hateful God. He loves Esau. But the thing he done was most valuable. He treated as common. So don't let translation throw you off. We're going to get to some of that. Man, it's just... this goes in so many directions, and we're trying to get like, this foundation is pretty big, the opening foundation. Todot is Hebrew for generation or descendants, and our text is from Genesis 25:19 through 28:9, and the Haftor is Malachi 1:1 through 2:7. Topics in the Porsche: Isaac and Rebekah endured 20 childless years until their prayers were answered. Can you imagine? 20 years. And until their prayers were answered, and Rebekah conceived. And how we know that? Because it's going to tell us that. She experiences a difficult pregnancy as the children struggle inside her. Elohim tells her that there are two nations in your womb, and the younger will prevail over the older. Over the elder. And we see this going on. This is prophetic. This is going on today. All we got to do is just pay attention of the signs of the time. This is what he told us to do. Esau emerges first. Jacob is born, clutching Esau's heel. Esau grows up to be a cunning hunter, a man of the field. When I read to that part in the scripture, it automatically took me somewhere that we already read about a mighty hunter. Yep. We should have picked that up. Jacob is a wholesome man. Or it says he's one who is just, I guess in today's time we would call him a mama's boy. But trust me, he was more than just that. He was a man. He was a complete man. That's the word I was looking for, the scripture says. And a dweller in the tents of learning. Isaac favors Esau. Rebekah loves Jacob. Now we've seen that in today's time. Mama loves her younger boy. Daddy loves the oldest boy. And we see, that's still going today. This has never changed. And look, it's not a bad thing. Or is it? But that's some of these generations. These are things that's passed down from our forefathers that we go through in life. Returning exhausted and hungry from the hunt one day. Very interesting. Why this particular day he's exhausted and hungry? I mean, look, us few hunters we got down here, it's tiresome, but it's not that exhausted to go out and go hunting. So what's behind the scene that we're not seeing? I promise we ain't gonna get to that. Yes. I think we had that last year, Brother Rob, I kind of pointed out one of the Torah portions where you got to go into the boat of Yasher. So we have some information. Esau sells his birthright, one thing that was valuable to a firstborn. His rights as the firstborn to Jacob for a pot of red lentil stew. Let me tell you something. Yehovah don't like sellouts. That's the bottom line. He won't compromise. His word says what it says, and he ain't compromised for me. I don't think he'll compromise for any one of us in here. And we have to be okay with that. And we have to get, like I said, we have to get on board with him and what he says. In Gerar, in the land of Philistine, Isaac presents Rebekah as his sister, out of fear that he would be killed by someone coveting her beauty. Now, we've seen this happen before, just like it's for daddy. So that's some genes, that stuff that's passed on. And we're gonna act like our parents. His farm, the land reopens, he farms the land, reopens the well dug by his father Abraham, and digs a series of his own wells. Over the first two, there is strife with the Philistines. But the waters of the third well are enjoyed in tranquility. Very good, more important stuff to look at. Esau marries two Hittite women. Isaac grows old and blind and expresses his desire to bless Esau before he dies. While Esau goes off to hunt for his father's favorite food, Rebekah dresses Jacob in Esau's clothes, covers his arm and neck with goatskin to simulate the feeling of his hairier brother, prepares a similar dish, and sends Jacob to his father. Jacob received his father's blessing from the dew of heaven and from the fat of the land. What a blessing. And he told him, he said, yes, he is blessed. Oh boy, and we see that today. And mastery over his brother. When Esau returns and the deception is revealed, all Isaac can do for his weeping son is predict that he will live by his sword. And when Jacob falters, the younger brother will forfeit his supremacy over the elder. Yeah, like I said, this goes a lot of information. Jacob leaves home for Haran to flee Esau's wrath, to find a wife in the family of his mother's brother, Laban. Well, we see, there he goes. So we're not finished with him yet. Esau married a third wife, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael. This week's Torah portion is called Toldot, as it begins with the genealogy of Yitzhak. The Hebrew word Toldot is the plural of the Hebrew word that is used for genealogy, which is Toldah, Toldah. Strong's 84:35, which means generations, account, geological registration, births, courts of history, and comes from the primitive root Yalad, Strong's 3205, which means to bear, bring food, bring forth, and begat. And I have all this written down because I looked at the beginning, a few of the slides, but I didn't go really deep in it because, you know, sometimes you can get caught up in the slides and you miss the message. So I kind of tend to wean off of it a little bit, but still use it as help. What we can see from this is that it not only deals with the generation of Yitzhak, but more importantly, it deals with his history, as we are given here the account of his history. So let's go to our Torah portion. I'm going to read just the beginning part of it before we have to deviate from it, because it's much more than what we have right here. And this, in Genesis 25:19, and this is the genealogy of Yitzhak, Abraham's son. Abraham brought forth Yitzhak, the promised seed that was promised to Abraham, 100 years old, and having a kid, when it was well past their time for him and Sarah. But here we are, and we're going to see this promised seed. You know, there was another promised seed also in Scripture that we read about. And we're going to read about it, and just the genealogy of it. Yitzhak was 40 years old when he took Rivka as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Now, we learned a little bit about that. Let me just give you a... Padan Aram is H6307. It means field, a plain, or tableland in the northern Mesopotamia, in Aram, a region of Syria. So you got to go on there. You have to take your time and go look at all these places, because a lot of it has to do with what's going on outside of what we're in this building today. So in order to know that, you got to go spend time in the Word. This is what this Torah portion will do to you. But before I go any further, this morning I got up, you know, because it seemed like one of these Torah portions that You know, because it's a little bit of a struggle for us because we don't really know how to dig into the history of all this. But let's just go. So Yahweh was reminding me. I was got up praying this morning, and, you know, because we want to say what's right, and we want to represent Him well in everything we do, not just here. It's outside where it matters. In here, we look good, but outside, what are we? Are we whitewashed tombs on the outside? We don't want to look like that to the world. We don't want to have the stench of something else on the inside brewing up. And these Torah are designed to get that out of us, because we're going to learn in generational curses in history how Israel, time and time again, they fail Yehovah. And you're going to read about time that, you know what, that they cried out to Yehovah, and despite all of their idolatry, Yah still had His mercy and His hand upon Israel, no different than He had upon us. So in Malachi, this is the Haftorah. We're going to start out with, because we're still building on the foundation. The message of the word of Yehovah to Yisrael by Malachi. We say Malachi in English, but it's actually pronounced Malachi. And it's H-43-97, my messenger. Did I get that one right? No. It's H-44-01, my messenger. I'm sorry. It goes to the root word Malachi, H-43-97, which is messenger, representative, angel, theophanetic angel, from an unused root to dispatch as a deputy. I was reading that, I said, you know what? So here he has us this morning. You know, Brother Rob last night, and, you know, me today, and we've been sharing, Brother Chad on Wednesdays. And we got, I ain't going to call him backup, because he's not the backup pastor. he's the start of where we're at today. We've been learning. So Midrash, you'll have the pastor for the Midrash. But I'm so thankful to be in this opportunity as a deputy of him, as a messenger. This is what we're doing. We're repeating what has been written for us, history-wise, and how is it relevant for us today? And boy, we need it all. All this information that we put out, and you know, don't think of it as too much or overwhelming. Because when you start thinking that way, that's when we start getting sideways with Him. Then we start thinking, manna, why all this manna? You need it. Because in days and times to come, suppose these doors were locked. I thought about this morning. I'm going to. Suppose these doors were locked. Well, you don't have the freedom to come and speak. Or you don't have the freedom to come and worship. Over there, our brothers and sisters overseas, they're fighting for their lives. You know, just yesterday or whatever it was, Israel bombed Iran back. What do you want Netanyahu to do? Let me tell you. You bomb us. What do you want us to do? We have to retaliate. But America wants, don't bomb them back too hard. Don't retaliate too bad. I seen time where he dealt with the enemy personally. No, this stuff is, like I said, it's not as easy as what we think it is. It's easy because we're here sitting in padded chairs and we're not over there. But just think about it. If this came to your doorstep, what if the enemy came to your doorstep? We have to think about these things. I have loved you, said Yehovah. But you ask, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Yaakov's brother, declares Yehovah. And I love Yaakov. Why? Because he's a tent dweller. He's one that's going to sit there and learn and be able to be taught. You know, we sat there for a long time. Listen to the pastor. And, hey, now it's your turn. You should have been learning. You should have been writing down. But I have hated Esau. Really? Does God hate Esau? We have to ask ourselves that question. And have laid waste his mountains and his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. If Edom says, we have been beaten down Let us return and build the ruin. Now Edom, I don't know if this is a pun or not, but Edom is Esau. I guess that'd be considered a pun. Mm-hmm. Which leads to the word red. We're gonna get to that. We have, if Edom says, we have built, been beaten down, let us return and build the ruins. Jehovah says thus, let them build, but I tear down. And they shall be called border of wrongness. And the people against whom Jehovah is enraged forever. See how because of one man's transgression, because of something that he despised, that was so dear as a family treasure. You, I don't think you were firstborn. But you know, Yah picks. Yah picks. Yah will put you in a spot where you can decide whether it's going to be right or wrong. And if he would have chose right, I'm sure the blessing would have been upon him. But Yah already knew that he was going to be a sellout. Knew that he would sell out his very, because why? We're going to read about it later on, that he sought it with tears. He wants it back. It's too late. And then sometimes it gets too late when we want to squander away from him. I have that fear sometimes that people that want off may never return. But that don't mean we stop praying for him. It's up to us to stand in the gap. But it says wrongness and the people against whom Yehovah is enraged forever. Why? Because they're constantly battering Yaakov. The household of Yaakov, they're constantly fighting. You know that Yaakov get tired of seeing that? There come a time he's going to deal with it. But for now, he lets it go. And he lets it go. And when it looked like all hell is against Yaakov, the house of Israel, he shows. You hear that trumpet blast. Because he's here. And finally, the master of masters is going to show up. What a time that's going to be. Because trust me, they're going to need him. They're going to need it. But what are we doing in process? We have to stand upon his word. That's all we have. You can't grow enough tomatoes. You don't have enough money in your account. I don't care what. There's not enough fish in the sea that you can catch or survive. You need his word. Because when all else fails, you have his word that never fails. And that's all we have to rely on in today's time is his word. And without it, we're doomed. We really are. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, great is Jehovah beyond the border of Israel. Great. Look, he's not only inside, he's out the border. He's still going to show himself mighty outside of the border of Israel. And he's doing that. He's doing it through Netanyahu right now, because that's his messenger. A son esteems his father, and a servant his master. And if I am a father, where is my esteem? What a question. We like I said last week, and whatever, we have no glory. It's all him. What you do matters. What you say matters. How you represent him matters. Because why? You are his messenger. When you leave this place and Sunday rolls around, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, you're his messenger. You're that guy that he's operating through. How else the word is going to get around? Where is my esteem? And if I am a master, where is my fear? That's one thing we can't lose. We can't lose the fear for him or respect or awe from him. No matter how bad it gets. No matter, look, whether you got $1 million or you got $10 in your account. Whether your pantry is full or empty, he still, you give him the praise and the esteem. Where is my fear, said Yehovah of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? You know what I mean? There's a lot of that goes on today. Look, I wish sometimes these messages would be all popular, but they're not. In a sense, they are, because it's to move you, it's to prepare you for what's to come. There's a lot of inspiration out there. We can turn the page and, you know, have a very, but is that what Yah really wants? You're despising his name. But you ask, in what way have we despised your name? Says, you are presenting defiled food on my slaughter place. Now, he didn't say your food was unclean. It says just defiled. Big difference. You know, when we come here, not in our sense, we don't have to think of food because hopefully by now we should know what he likes and what he doesn't like when it comes to food. But we are his, and how we conduct ourselves in his slaughter plate really matters. But you ask, in what way have we defiled you? Because you say the table of Yehovah is despicable. We don't want to speak that about him. And then when he says he loved us, and we're going to say his table, we don't like what he likes because it don't suit us well. We have no right. And when you present the blind as slaughtering, because there's some things they've done. We know that for a fact, and we know that with Cain. He tells us that. He thought they defiled food. I mean, bring your best. When we come, we're counting. We're about almost halfway through the Omer. We're counting. We have to come with our best. We're not coming with nothing defiled. Is it not evil? This is what he calls it. And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Bring it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says Jehovah of hosts. You know, if I go to work and I kind of act out of character, or I treat my boss's stuff as just common, like I don't care about it, you think I'm going to be shown favorably about anything when it comes to payday or when it comes for bonuses or anything like that? If we do that for man, how much more respect for him? And now, entreat the face of El to show favor to us. This has been done by your hands. Would he show favor to you, says Jehovah of hosts? How do you expect Yah to react? Who among you would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my slaughter place for naught? I have no pleasure in you, says Jehovah of hosts, nor do I accept an offering from your hands. Look, when we think that whatever we can just give him and we think it looks good because it's whitewashed on the outside, he tells you he rejects that stuff. You can put all the money you want in. He don't need your money. I can tell you that. We need him more than anything. He says, I have no pleasure in you. These are strong words. From the rise, and by the way, this is all Israel. This is his people. And who we are, who we are representing today, who we claiming to be, who we say we're following, we can't act this way either. From the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name is great among the nations. And in every place, incense is prepared, is present to my name, presented to my name, and a clean offering. For my name is great among nations, says Jehovah of hosts. He's letting you know that no matter what goes on, his name will remain great. But you are profaning me, in that you say the table of Jehovah is defiled, and its food is despicable. And you say, oh, what weariness. Manna, 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 manna. Here we go. This is why we need this. This is why we've taken our time. We're taking this approach to take our time and look at carefully in detail. Because why? Not only you need it, someone else out there needs it. The only thing, self. We don't want to be all white in here. And that's kind of like, I guess that was a pun. A fun. Let me call that a fun. We don't want to be all Levons in here, white. In a sense. That's being self, selfish. Because why? We're here. Look at verse 13. And you say, oh, what weariness, and you sneered at it, said Jehovah of hosts. Huh? Nahor. All these little tie-ins just fit so well. Look, I, I peeked at it, but I didn't put it in my note. But this morning, you start off with this. And you brought in plunder and the lame and the sick. Thus you have brought in the offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says Jehovah of hosts? When you don't give your best, we just think we can give him whatever we want. When we praise in him, we should we do it with our all. Nothing should hold us back. Our hands will automatically want to lift whatever song comes up. We should at least give him the thanks and let him know, look, I surrender to you. We what are we holding back for? Well, we all know one another. We all know where you live. We know your people. I'm glad I'm from Webb the Road. Nobody knows me. But curse be the deceiver. That's why. Because you have an adversary that's out there. He don't want you to get your joy on. He don't want you to come in here. He wants you to hold back. That way next week when you go on, he can beat you down again. Because that's what happens. When you don't train, when you don't exercise, and you know, in your mind and your word, and get yourself ready, you'll get beat by the enemy. I can tell you that. You go through one heck of a week, look, and it seems like, man, you don't even know how you make it sometimes. He does. I know the answer. Because he loves you. But cursed be the deceiver who has a male in his flock and makes a vow, but is slaughtering to Yehovah what is blemished. We can't just offer any kind of thing. We have to become with a pure heart and a pure mind on this day. Because why? This is a set apart day. And we're going to get to that. I'm going to show you what he says in his word. Because look, this is not always easy. It really ain't. For I am a great sovereign, said Yehovah of hosts, and my name is feared among nations. The sad part about all that, not everybody knows his name. They still think it's Lord or God. That's why it's up to you and I to spread truth. And now, O priest, this command is for you. So don't think it's only, I'm up here and I'm only directing toward you that's sitting down taking notes. It's for us up here that do the teaching. We have to guard ourselves. We have to be on top of our A game. If you do not hear, and if you do not take it to heart, what? To give esteem to my name, says Jehovah of hosts, I send a curse upon you, and I shall curse your blessing. Now, and indeed, I have cursed them because you did not take it to heart. Now, this morning, as I was sitting down, and I'm looking at that, you know, we think about our blessing, we think of stuff. What Yehovah has blessed us with. Or is it really Yehovah that blessed you with that? Because remember, your adversary has powerful blessing too. Well, how do we know that? He tried to bless Yeshua. He said, all these will I give to you if you fall down and just bow down and worship me. Humble yourself to me. And look what I can give you. So without cautious, look, he's crafty. We have to be on top of our game in 2024 in the time and age in which we live, what's going on. But let's look at this blessing. We think about stuff. Your blessing could be the one who lays next to you. This is where my mind went this morning. You don't want the one laying next to you, your blessing cursed? Your husband or your wife? Or those of you, if you don't have a husband or a wife, he is your blessing. That's the thing about it. So look, those of you that are still single in here, hooray. Cheer on, because he is your blessing. But for the rest of us, we don't want to bring a curse upon our spouse. So what you say, what I say, what you matters. We have to guard each other. And if you can't guard the one laying next to you, how are you going to be entrusted to his stuff? Because she or he is your blessing. How do I know that? See, I rebuke your seed. You don't get stuff. You don't have seed come from a boat outside. Or from your truck outside. Or from your house outside. It's from the one that's laying next to you. Because why? What are we talking about? We got to go get a bride for Itzhak. This is all tied in our Torah portion. Abraham had a wife, and they had to have children. They had to have around the sea. Then we got, where? Go back to the land where I come from and go get a wife for my son. Don't take him from here. So you can see where this road will lead you to if we really want to pay attention. Don't, like I said, we can't get caught up in translation. See, I shall rebuke your seed. I don't want that. I need my seed blessed. I need my offspring blessed. And it, how are you going to have seed offspring if you don't have a wife or you don't have a husband? So you can see that's why I said it's not talking about your stuff that you think he blessed you with. And some of, a lot of it could be. Because some of, if it wouldn't have been for his hand, you wouldn't have that stuff you have. So this can go both ways. But I tend to lean more toward the one you lay next to. See, I shall rebuke your seed and scatter dung before your faces, the dung of your festivals, and you shall be taken away with it. And you know, I had the news on while I turned the volume down, just let it play. There's so much festivals and junk going on out there in the world today. And look, you can go be a part of them all you want to. But he warns you right here. This is when this, all this was happening is for naught. Dung in your face. It's just distractions. That's all it is to throw your mind or throw your game off. And you shall know that I have sent this command to you as being my covenant with Levi, says Yehovah of hosts. My covenant with him was life and peace, and I gave them to him to fear, and he feared me and stood in awe of my name. Why? Because I'm glad we read the story ahead of time, because what does Levi out of all the sons of Yaakov, he ain't bowing down to that. This is where this goes to. And what it is, now you're going to remain a priest forever. And who we know, who was a better priest than the one who came? Wow, he's king and priest, the scripture says. The Torah of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and straightness and turned many away from crookednesses. What should we do? Doing the same thing our high priest has done. This is, he left us instructions in life on how to conduct ourselves, on how to walk, places we should go, places we shouldn't go. Consult with him first before we would just do anything. This is what these Torah boards are designed to do, to teach us, to help us. For the lips of the priest should guard knowledge, and they seek the Torah from his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yehovah of hosts. Huh? What Malachi was saying? And this is where it stops, right here. I kind of cut it short because, you know, you want to stop right there, but you know you really want to read the rest of it. So we're going to leave in this context. But you, let's read the rest of it. It's just a few more verses. Have turned from the way and have caused many to stumble in the Torah. Now this is what happens when you get outside of his will. And you think that your way, you know better. And look, you're going to cause people to stumble. And that's terrible. What Yeshua said, when I read that, he said, if you offend one of the little ones, he said, it's better the millstone be tied around your neck and be tossed in the sea. And for you to cause someone to stumble, we don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to read what's on the pages right here of the word. That way, no, there'd be no shady business going on. Oh, well, he said this. Well, we're going to read what it says. If you cause someone to stumble in the Torah, you have corrupted the covenant of Levi. Because he made his covenant with Levi. And it's still, that covenant still stands today. Amen. Says Yehovah of hosts. Amen. Not Scott. Scott didn't say it. I'm just repeating what Yehovah of hosts said. And I shall make you despised and low before all the people because you are not guarding my ways and are showing partiality in the Torah. And we can't show partiality. You sit here because you look good and everyone looks a little poor. You sit over here. We can't do that. Scripture warns us about that. We have to be equal across the board. And Yehovah is equal across the board. That's why he has a just weight and balance scale that's equal. There's no up and down. There's no wishy-washy. But this is what happens when you think you know better, or your way is the right way, and you're not guarding his ways, because he warns that, guard my way. And I'm trying so hard to get to that, because when I'm going to show you a spot in history, what happened to Israel, because they kept transgression. They kept not following what was written, what was laid before them, how they want to wander off the path of righteousness. Have we not all one Father? Did not one Elohim create us? Why do we act treacherously against one another and profane the covenant of the fathers? Yehuda has acted treacherously, and an abomination has been done in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Yehuda has profaned what is set apart to Jehovah, which he had loved, and has married the daughter of a foreign mighty one. What did Abraham say? Don't take no stranger for my son. Go to my people, my father's house. This is what, you can relate right back to it. We have to be willing to sit down and want to learn what his word says. And we know that Yehuda and all these that we read about these people, because we're going to get to these sons of Yaakov, that you're going to see how they acted treacherously against their own brother. And what's happening in the world today? They're fighting brothers against brothers, cousins against cousins. This is no surprise. It shouldn't be a shock to us what we read, what we can find in history, and even today. But if we can't read it here, if we can't talk about it, when do we have time for it? Well, today is a very good day. Let Yehovah cut off the tents of Yaakov, the man who does the stirring up or answering and bringing an offering to Yehovah of hosts. He don't need your stuff. Let's just be clear about that. Because we're going to read here he said, cut off the tents of Yaakov. In Isaiah, he said, extend the tent. Broaden out. So what is it? Cut it off or extend it? Is Yah confused? No. And this you have done a second time. You cover the slaughter place of Yehovah with tears. We come in here week after week. We're crying out to him. But when we leave here, we forget what we were crying about. With weeping and crying, because he no longer regards the offering, nor receives it with pleasure from your hands. And you say, why am I going through this? Because Yehovah has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have acted treacherously, though she is your companion and the wife of your covenant. And did he not make one? And he had the remnant of the spirit. And what is the one alone? Nothing. We need him. He seeks a seed of Elohim. So you shall guard your spirit and let none act treacherously against the wife of his youth. For I hate divorce. Now we know that Moshe, that Yah gave him permission. And some of us have been through divorce. It's ugly. I got no other way to put it. It'll bring out the ugliness in you. You'll become enemies. Yah hates that. When he designed man and woman, he made no mistake. But when we leave the fountain, that's why I so wish we had this 30 years ago. We had what we have today. But now we have it. Now we know how we can't act anymore. Because this is how we used to be. He says, for I hate divorce, says Yehovah, Elohim of Israel, and the one who covers his garment with cruelty, says Yehovah of hosts, so you shall guard your spirit and do not act treacherously. You have wearied Yehovah with your words. He knows Look, learn and move on. No, we don't have to sit there and do the same thing over and over and over again and wonder why we're in the same boat we're in, acting like we are, going through life like we are, because we won't stop acting treacherously. You have wearied Yehovah with your words, and you have said, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the eyes of Yehovah. And he is delighting in them. Oh, where is the Elohim of right ruling? Let me tell you, this is very sharp. No one likes the sharpness of Elohim, but it comes. Yaakov makes a very important statement I looked at. It's in a few chapters to come. When he's having all these children, he gets Leah and he gets Bilhah and he takes his hand. And poor Rachel, not having no children. And what is his statement? Am I in the place of Elohim? You think this is my fault? So, look, we can't throw everything on Elohim. There is right ruling. We have to examine our own selves. We have to stop pointing the finger. And this is what the scripture teaches. This was just part of the foundation. There's more to build on. Total is 8435. Descendants, results, proceedings, generation, genealogy, account of men and their descendants. Genealogical list of one's descendants, one's contemporaries, course of history, of creation, etc., begetting, or the account of heaven, metaphorically. In Bereshit 2:4, these are the births of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that Yehovah Elohim made the heavens and the earth. But what are we talking about? Births. We're talking about the genealogy. This is where it started, in the beginning. Go figure. That we start in the beginning. You don't think Yah knows what he's doing? We don't think Yah knows what he's talking about? When he put this plan, this wonderful, masterful plan together, started with just the dirt and the elements that he had, and he made this beautiful world. But in time, because of man not disobedience, here we are today. It goes to a root word, yalad, H3205, to bear, bring forth, begat, gender, travail, to bring forth, to bear forth, of childbirths, of distress, of behavior, to begat, to be born, curse of health, to bring forth, to assist or tend as a midwife. And we know that Rivka had a midwife or a nurse, as we would say. And these are all the paleo and the hip heel form. We say, why do it? It's all these definitions because it uses, in the Hebrew language, the numbers may be a different word than what you think you might be looking for. So it has all these root words that ties in to toldot. So that's why I'm giving you all the definitions. In the paleo form and the hip heel form, to begat child, bring forth iniquity. We say, is that in there? Yes. It's one of the definitions. Day of birth, birthday, to declare one's birth, and also pedigree. That sounds kind of funny, but okay. Mention these root words and words are mentioned 500 times in Scripture. So it's in there for our learning. And Yitzhak was 40 years old when he took Rivka as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Arami, but of Padanaram, the sister of Levan, the Aramean. And Yitzhak prayed to Yehovah for his wife. See why I read that a little while ago in Malachi, and he talked about I'm talking about the one laying next to you. Because he had to pray for his wife. Because why? She was barren. Now, can you imagine? You're married to a young wife for the first time. You think you're about to have children. That's one of the expectations. It's so beautiful about Yahweh. He designed it that way for us to procreate. This is what Toldot's about the generations. Now, it's hard to have generations if you're not having children. And 20 years have gone by. So you can see the same effect that Yitzhak is going through like his father went through, except not as long. You know, and we don't want to take the fleshly approach like his father done. I'm so glad he learned what not to do. Because something we act just like our parents. But I'm so glad that he took a different approach. He prays for his wife. Instead of, here's my handmaiden. That's why we can't use Ishmael, because he's a product of flesh. We have to have a promised seed. Because she was barren, and Yehovah answered his prayer, and Rivka, his wife, conceived. After 20 years, look, I'm sure he was praying faithfully for his wife. Oh, and we want this story just to jump right in and have children. But look, it's about his timing. We can't rush him. We can't tell him what to do. We can give our opinion. Well, yeah, you know, that's all you can do. I mean, he might not even hear that. He'll probably just, hey, what was that? Oh. But he prayed earnestly. I believe he prayed earnestly because why? The scripture tells us a fervent prayer of a righteous man avail it. But it's all about his timing. So 20 years, we know that he's praying, he's interceding for his wife. And within her, the children struggled together. And she said, if all is right, why am I this way? So she went to ask Yehovah. Now, that's amazing. She went to ask Yehovah because don't ask us. We know nothing about pregnancy. Y'all's not confused about gender when it comes to having babies. The world might be confused, but y'all ain't confused. I've never seen a man have a baby except one time in Hollywood. Nah. So if you want to believe that, you go right ahead and follow that. Yeah. I'll be back. Yeah. That guy. Really? Okay. But y'all ain't confused about who's having babies here. But I'm so glad that Rivka now, she wants to know, she ain't going to ask her husband. We got no information. I know nothing about having a baby except the bedroom section. Now, I don't know nothing about the DNA. I don't know nothing about the blood cells and all the account. And y'all ladies know. I don't know. My wife can tell you. I'm clueless when it comes to that. If it ain't born with a fishing pole in his hand or a rod and reel, that's where we come in. But until then, you plant the seed, you water, but he gives the increase. And within her, the children struggled. And she said, if all is right, why am I in this way? So she went to ask Jehovah. Who else are you going to ask who has the answers? When you're struggling in life and you think that no one has answers, he has the answer. We might not want the result of what he tells us. We might not want the answer he gives us. We might not like what the messenger has to say today, but the word is what the word is. So you have to consult him. You don't consult me. Now, we go to our pastors, and now we have issues. Marriage counsel. Okay, we have Brother Robin Hill. Look, and they have this great little deal. Look, and even if you're single, come and listen. It'll benefit you. I like going to the little counseling. There's always something to learn. Doesn't matter how old you are. And within her, the children struggle. There's a war going on. And they're not even born yet. And there's fighting going on. There's chaos. Now, we're not here in this time. We're only here because of the word puts us here. But there's a war going on that we're over here. We're not even a part of. We're actually a part of more than what we think we are. Because why? We're standing here with the one who's going to come out to grab the heel. And we know that one that grabs the heel, he has a serious grip. You call him a mama's boy. Well, he's a mama's boy. He dwells in a tent. Because, you know, some mamas, they got their... I seen that smirk on your face. Look, if you got a set of boys, one of them kind of tends to suck up the mom a little more than the other. Look. So this is what we see this in the life of these two young boys, and Yaakov and Esau. And the scripture tells us that. So she want to know why there's fighting going on in her womb. What's happening here? Now, and Yehovah said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples shall be separated from your body. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And we're going to see this prophetic come along, because when the dad is going to pronounce a blessing upon him, he's going to tell the older one, and it's going to be a little smaller, but we're still going to read it anyway. He's still going to tell the older one, when you're going to get tired and weary, you're going to want to break that yoke from your neck. Hence, here comes the fighting. Here comes the war. Where we're at today, this is prophetic way back then, but two nations. And what we have going on over there? We have these nations that's going on, fighting, brothers, cousins, half-brothers, by the way. We see it with Ishmael, and now we're going to see it with Esau, blood brothers. And when the days were filled for her to give birth, see, twins were in her womb. Now, when I get to the twins part, it always reminds me of twins. That they might not look a whole lot alike. In some ways, they act the verbiage. But boy, their character traits, you got to hold on tight. Let's see what twins are before I run away with this. Oh, boy, I know I have it in here somewhere. Twins. It's H8380, tome. It goes to a root word, H8382, ta'am, to be double, be jointed, to be doubled, to bear twins. It just simply means what it says. Well, we can see that two boys coming out, twins, but two different aspects in life and their destiny, what they're going to, the route they're going to choose. Now, I'm so thankful for our twins, that they stay on the same road, the same path. They might have their ways, but they're on the same path that we're on. I'm thankful for them. And boy, sometimes, and they can be funny at times, and sometimes they can be a little harsh. But look, you love them coming and going. Oh boy, you gotta love it. And the first one came out red all over like a hairy garment. So they call his name Esau. Now this red is H132 Adomi. Admoni. Means red, ruddy, of Esau as an infant. Now the scripture, now there's some things you can look at. They say he came out so, he's just a baby come out with a full grown beard. Or just, he's so hairy. That's the stuff that you can look at. Or stuff you can listen to. But he's just a hairy baby. Almost look, I'll remind you of almost an animal. It comes from the root word H119 Adam, to show blood in the face, to be red, etc. Which leads to another root word. The word hairy is H8181 Sa'er. Hair, as a hair of animals, a man, hair of garment made of hair. It ties into another root word, H8175, Sa'er, to storm by imprecation, to shiver, fear, be horribly afraid, fear, hurl as a storm, be temperous, come out like, come like take away with a whirlwind, to bristle with horror, to dread, to sweep away, to be afraid. This is in Esau. So all you got to do is go look it for yourself. Because we know that one day when Yaakov has to face him, Yaakov is feeling some of what his brother's DNA that's inside of him. Because they're twins. Their DNA, I'm sure they have probably the same blood type. So you can see where some of that would be instilled into Yaakov. Because when he comes to Esau, he sends his wife and kids. He sends it down. His knees are knocking. Look. But besides that, he's walking. His fetlock is a little crippled, which he's hip, actually. But he has to deal with his leg because he can't run. And Yahweh sometimes wants to get you in a position where you can't run. Wow, we see Rivka, she's a runner. She's a hustler. But Yaakov, man, he hustles, he can't hustle no more. And Yahweh puts him in a spot to where you can't go nowhere. And I believe something as a lesson we can learn from that. That's why we had this a while back, how he wants to cuff that fetlock, because he wants you to slow you down. Because every day, look, we got stuff. Trust me, we have stuff that we can, look, it's so much easier to pawn this off to the pastor and sit over there and take notes, relax, and when it's over, we out of here. That's easily done. But you're not learning anything. You're not growing. Because why? Just as I can teach this, or at my best of my ability, you can do the same. And this is what our master charges. Go into the world, make disciples. So why? To help carry the torch. Because who knows, one day, our pastor might not be here. I might not be here. You may not be here. Somebody has to keep this going. If not, like I said, what happens if the doors are locked? And you don't have the freedom of speech and opportunity to come. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1, and it came to be in the days of Ahaz, son of Jotham. Now we read about these guys last night that Brother Rob pointed out in the genealogy of Yeshua. So it's so funny that I told him, I said, you know, brother, some words that you mentioned, I can tell we're all on the same page, because that's how it's supposed to design. We're supposed to be on the same page, same level of when it comes to doing the teaching. We shouldn't be off in left field. So these guys that when you mentioned last night, you should have picked up on this morning. Son of Uzziah, sovereign of Yehuda, that Rezin, sovereign of Aram, and Pekah, sovereign of Remaliah, sovereign of Yisrael, went up to Jerusalem to fight against it, but could not prevail against it. I wonder why. But you see this fighting, it just didn't start what you see on your TV right now. This has been going on since when? Before they were born. This is how much history that we don't know. So we have to, because I'm going to read a verse of scripture in here. It's like, this seems like it comes out of left field. Don't know where it comes from, but we're going to, hopefully I can do my best to try to teach it and see where it leads us. And it was reported to the house of Dawid, saying, Aram has set up camp in Ephraim. And his heart and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the forest are moved with the wind. And Jehovah said to Yeshayahu, go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Ashub, your son, at the end of the channel of the upper pool on the highway of the Lord's field. Now, I did look up that his son's name, but I didn't write it down, so I apologize. You can go back and look it for yourself. And say to him, take heed and be calm. Do not fear or be faint-hearted for these two stubs of smoldering firebrands, for the fierce displeasure of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. Now I believe that today, in today's time, don't fear what's going on. Because the scripture warned and told us these things were going to happen. Yeshua told us. We're not paying attention to his words. Which If you're going to pay attention to anybody in the scripture, you need to pay attention to him. But he said, don't have no fear. Don't be faint-hearted about what's going on. Be informed about it. Pay attention to it. Because Aram, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you. But they're still going to plot evil against you today. Let's not kid ourselves. Saying, let us go up against Yehuda and tear it apart and break it open for ourselves and set a sovereign over them, the son of Tavel. Thus says the master Yehovah, it is not going to stand, nor shall it take place. So it doesn't matter what the enemy tells you. I can tell you. Yehovah has the final word. We have to put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, and no matter what goes on in the world today, like I said, pay attention. What's happening? We should be. At least, and we might not know all, look, we might not, there's so much you can look out of your phone. We might not understand it all. You might not, because we don't know who's telling truth, who's lying or what. You just sit there and be aware of what's happening. But he said it's not going to stand, nor shall it take place. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Resen. And within 65 years, Ephraim is going to be broken as a people. And the head of Ephraim is Shamron, and the head of Shamron is the son of Remaliah. If you do not believe, you are not steadfast. So we have to believe when Yehovah speaks. We have to be settled when he speaks. No matter what area of our life, it affects us. We have to be okay with, because he knows what's best for us. And Yehovah spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from Yehovah, your Elohim. Make deep the request, or make it high. Look, when you're in your prayer car, when you're in spare time, ask him. You think it matters how broad it is or how shallow it may be, your prayer time for him? Look, get to the point. Speak to him. And ask your heart out, but ask humbly. Let's not sneer or snort. Come with a humble heart. Be like Eliezer, the servant, how he humbled himself by the well. If you're going to show loving commitment in my mouth, please show loving commitment. Because I don't want to make this. This was something for him to bear, this journey. And look, we're on this journey. And he's entrusted us as servants. And ask a sign for yourself from Yehovah, your Elohim. Make deep the request, or make it high. But Ahaz said, I do not ask nor try Yehovah. Why? Because the fear of Elohim, he knows. And we should have that same fear in us. And he said, hear now, O house of Dawid. Is it not enough that you weary men, that you weary my Elohim also? Didn't we not just read that in Malachi? Therefore, Yehovah himself gives you a sign that he should have been paying attention to. And he gives us a sign today. Look, the Alma conceives and gives birth to a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Huh? They wanted a sign. What are we talking about? We're talking about these children. But what was more important than the Alma right here that he's talking about in Scripture? Because Yeshua says, Moshe wrote about me. All the prophets wrote about me. You should have known. I'm here. Here I am. And you don't even know. Is this the carpenter's son? Who is this guy? He said, you should have known. He eats curds and honey when he knows to refuse evil and choose the good. Hallelujah. From before the child knows to refuse evil and choose the good, the land that you dread is to be forsaken by both her sovereign. Now this seems like it's starting to make a little twist to you. Yehovah brings on you and your people and your father's house days that have not come since the day that Ephraim turned away from Yehuda, the sovereign of Ashur. What are we talking about? Generations. What are we talking about? History. Yehovah brings, oh, I just read that, verse 18. And it shall be in that day that Yehovah whistles for the fly that is in the furthest part of the rivers of Mitzrayim, and for the bee that is in the land of Ashur. Now I'm sitting there during the week and I'm like, what is all this? Why am I in Isaiah reading this? What are we talking about? And they shall come, and all them shall rest in the steep ravines and in the clefts of the rock and on the all weeds and in all pastures. Verse 20, this is where it ties in to the Torah portion. And in that day Yehovah shall shave with a razor hired beyond the river with the sovereign of Ashur, the hair, the head, and the hair of the legs, and also remove the beard. All right, now, he said, what this got to do with Torah portion? I'm like you. I was like a deer in the headlights. There was a man by the name of Tiglath-Pileser, Tiglath-Pileser III, is recorded in the Hebrew Bible. Now, I hadn't looked that up, but this is what I found. Conquered Babylon in 729, becoming the first king to rule as both king of Assyria and king of Babylon. History. Because why? Because Israel had sinned against God for centuries. And Isaiah foretold that they would be shaved by the Assyrians in many ways. As it turned out, the Assyrians burned their cities and took the people and valuables captive to Assyria. Isaiah foretold that the extent of the destruction and disgrace would be almost unimaginable, and God personalized it by a picture of a person's humiliation and defeat if an enemy captured a man or a woman and shaved the hair of the head and the genitals, and for a man also the beard, all of which would be horribly disgraceful in that culture. History. It teaches us how when we're going to learn this from Yaakov and Esau, what route for we should take as us, how does it apply for us today? But like I said, when I went through this, like, man, why are we reading about this? Because history tells a story. And then this whole, the prophet section, when you get to the prophet, it talks about the destruction of Israel. It really does. Let me finish. Shave with a razor the hair of the feet. Here is used as an idiom and use E-U-P-H-E-M-I-S-T-I-C-E-Systematically. Huh? Say it louder. Euphemistically. For the genital organs. Isaiah 7:20 is a prophecy that when the Assyrians conquered Israel and took the people captive, they would shave the hair of the feet. It is unfortunate many versions say shave the hair of the legs, which misses the point entirely. Why would people shave the legs of their captives? The captives were led away naked and barefoot and with their buttocks bare. We have this recorded in history. And David, a couple of David's servants, shaved half the beard and cut their loins to where their butts would show. Did I say that? Yeah. Because it's in the history. But we don't want to say that in the churches. Why? Because it don't fit the message right. But this is what happens when you leave his foundations. When you want to wander off your path that you think it's right. And you want to crucify those who want to stay on the path of righteousness, but then we're the wrong guys. So Israel over here mind their own business, but we're going to bomb Israel, but you don't want Israel to retaliate? Come on now. Isaiah 20, verse 4, Isaiah was saying that not only would these captives be carried away naked with their buttocks exposed, but they would suffer the humiliation of having their pubic hair shaved by the Assyrian enemies. In Isaiah 47, verse 2, and by the way, I read all these, which is a prophecy of when the Persians would carry the Babylonian women away captive, they would be stripped naked at their thigh, would be uncovered, thigh being another sexual euphemism for the genitalia. See Isaiah 47, 2. It was quite common that captives were stripped naked to humiliate them, and very common that the women were raped. The Hebrew word gala, which is used as uncovered, gala, G-A-L-A, which is used as uncovered in a sexual sense, and that goes to Leviticus 18 through 20, were uncovered, because we talked about uncovering your father and mother's nakednesses. It's used many times for sexual intercourse. It's also used to be led captives. And that's 2 Kings 17:11, verse 28, chapter 24:14, and chapter 25:11. Perhaps because of the strong cultural connection between being taken captive and being stripped naked and likely raped, the feet are used idiomatically. Boy, I can't say these things words. For the genital area and other verses as well. Ezekiel 16:25 says that women open their feet to everyone, referring to sexual intercourse. And I had to go read that. And then we see that because we were just what? Yehuda did that. Everyone that passes by, we welcome them in. This is what happened in your history. Another connection between the genital area and the feet can be seen in 2 Kings 18:27 and Isaiah 36:12, where the Hebrew phrase for the urine, the water of the feet. Captives were also humiliated by shaving their beard or their hair in 2 Samuel 10:4 through 5. The king of Ammon took the emissaries that had come from David and shaved off half their beards. And the men were embarrassed, and David had them stay away from Jerusalem, until their beards had grown back. Isaiah 7:20 says that Assyrian will be a razor that will shave the people of Yehuda, shave their heads, their beards, and their pubic hair. Jeremiah 2:6 personifies Israel and says that Egypt will shave his head. We don't want to read these things. But if you don't read them in here in the house, when are you going to read them? Do we really want to learn history? Because before we go further it'll lead you down that way. Mm-hmm. Now, some stuff, it got to be privately. Maybe you speak with your spouse. But it leads you in this area because Israel's rebellion, Israel's hard-headedness, brought their own demise upon him. So what happens to us? Our own thinking, because we can think, we heard it right before, doesn't make it right. Because when you deviate from his word, and we wonder why Israel constantly going back to their transgression and what happened? Look, I learned one from Manasseh. I read last week how the hook was put into his nose and led away captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And then what he done, after he realized his state and his condition he was in, what did he do? He cried out to Yehovah. Mm-hmm. Just like the prodigal son cried out to Yehovah in my father's house. Man, it's much better than this. I would just rather be a servant in his house. You got that right. I just want to be a servant in his house. How true word that. But we can see history will teach us. Look, I know sometimes this ain't popular, but it's the truth. We have to go look at. And what are we here for? The truth. And what we were told a long time ago? You can't handle the truth. Huh? Oh. Uh-oh. Here we go. Verse 24. And when the days were filled for her to give birth, see, twins were in her womb. And the first one came out red all over like a hairy garment. So they called his name Esau, which in today is Edom. Esau is age 62-15, hairy, the progenitor of the Arab people. Now, I don't know how much of that. This is what the definition says. Because we have, so it makes sense to me. The Arabs, you know, come from Esau, and you have the Palestinians from Ishmael. But you can see that they're not on the same page with Yaakov, even though they're brothers. Which goes to the root word, 62:13, asa, to do, fashion, accomplish, make. And it's mentioned 2,639 times. One of those times is in the book of Obadiah. The vision of Obadiah. This is what the Master Yehovah said concerning Edom. We have heard a report from Yehovah, and a messenger has been sent among the nations saying, arise, let us go up against her for battle. See this constant fighting, war? What's going on? Why? Because where did it start? In the womb. And you think it's going to stop, right? Anytime soon? No, I don't think so. I think this is going to go on for a little while until that one day when Yah has enough. See, I have made you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the cliffs of the rock, whose dwelling is high, who say in your heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Why? He's a hunter. We'll get to that part. Not today, probably, but though you rise as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I shall bring you down, declares Yehovah. Mm-hmm. Not me, not Scott, not Brother Rob, not Pastor. Who are we repeating? We're repeating his words. So there's no confusion about what we're reading. That's what I said, the pride of our heart. Because a man can think, doesn't make him right. He's letting him know his state, his condition. And Yah offers him. Oh, my bad. She puts up the sign UCD. Oh boy. Man. I'm going to save this. I'm going to stop. Because there's really something I really want to show y'all that I came across, and I thought this was so beautiful, was verse 26 of in chapter 25. Let me just share it with you so you can go home and check it out for yourself. So this don't have to be on the CD. It says, and I'm going to skip it down the verse. And afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding onto Esau's heel. So his name is called Yaakov. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bore him. So that's your answer, 20 years. All right. Verse 26. This is Bereshit 32:26. And as I'm sitting there, I'm going through my studies, I was thinking about this. Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 25, verse 26. I'm sorry. As I was sitting there and going through my study, I was thinking about something that Yaakov, when he said about grabbing the heel, how he said he has a good grip. And we know in chapter 32, verse 26, he has a wrestling encounter, wrestling match going on. And this the person that he's wrestling, this messenger, he says, let me go because it's breaking. I got to go. So he has a grip. He said, I ain't letting you go. This was in 32:26. And so I started thinking at this, and verse 27, it says, the boys grew And Esau became a man knowing how to hunt, a man of the field, and Jacob was a complete man dwelling in tents. And here we go in verse 36, that was our reading. What does all got to, these number six is coming up. So I thought is thinking, let me just look at the Hebrew letter. And it's the, how many know the sixth letter in the Hebrew is the letter Vav? I thought that was, okay, why? Vav is, we know what it is, to join, nail, secure, establish, man. Yah wants to establish man. And we're going to see that we're going to get into this Torah portion. He's going to establish Yaakov. Because Yaakov is his man. And in Genesis 1, 26 through 31, we have the creation of man. I'm not going to read it. I was just pulling it up, looking at it. So we have this three sixes popping up. Now we know the enemy has his man. He has his man, and we read about in Revelations chapter 13. Yah wants to secure us as his man. Let me tell you, now adversaries out there, he's trying to secure you as his man. But in chapter 13, verse 11, I'm going to close with this. I just had to get this out. And I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from the heaven on the earth before men. And he leads astray those dwelling on the earth because of those signs which he was given to do before the beast, saying to those dwelling on the earth to make an image to the beast whose womb was by the sword yet lived. We know his sign. And there was given to him to give spirit to the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause to be killed as many as would not worship the image of the beast. That's good. That's you and I. If we're still around, this is you and I. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, and free and slave, to be given a mark upon their right hand or upon their foreheads, and that no one should be able to buy or sell except he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, is the wisdom. He who has understanding. What are we trying to teach here? Wisdom and understanding. We're trying to share with the air and time in which we live in. We better pay attention. Let him calculate the number of the beast for the number of man, and his number is 666. So I just thought that was interesting. I'm in chapter 25, verse 26. Seven more chapters over leads me to verse 26, and all these sixes are popping up, and the sixth letter is the Vav. He wants to secure us in his word, because when time comes, we better know it. We better look to the sign, to the Alma, to the one we should be looking to, because there are going to be a lot of false signs going on in this world. And I had to jump ahead and speed this way in, because I'm been out of time. Thank you, Father. Man, let me tell you, this is some great stuff when you want to sit there and just look into his word. And I hope we really do try hard, our best, to give you as much information as we can. So, manna, it is. We don't get tired of it. We're going to need it. Amen? So, any prayer requests?